Have any of you ever wondered what it might be like to have God speak directly to you? How do you think you would feel if you heard God call out your name? What do you think you would say to God if he called out your name? One of the great prophets of the Old Testament was a man by the name of Samuel. And it was Samuel's mom who made a promise to God that would literally define his life. This childless woman begged God to give her a baby and made the promise that if he did, her child would be devoted to the service of God. And so when God answered that prayer, she followed through on her promise. And so from a young age, her child grew up in the temple at Shiloh. And it was there in the temple that Samuel had an unforgettable encounter with God. You can read about it if you want. I'd encourage you to in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Here's how that portion of Scripture starts. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. In other words, God wasn't saying much to his people at that time. Well, Samuel and his mentor and spiritual director Eli were actually sleeping one night in the house of the Lord when the Lord called out to Samuel, who mistakenly thought Eli had called out to him. And so he ran into Eli and he said, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli said, "I didn't call you. Why'd you wake me up? Go back to bed." And so he went back and lied down. And again, the Lord called out, "Samuel." Samuel got up and he ran into Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." And he said, "My son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Well, just like many of us, Samuel really didn't have a paradigm for hearing from God. And you know how they say that the third time is the charm? Well, the third time the Lord God called to Samuel, and Samuel got up and ran back into Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Well, that's when Eli realized that it was the Lord who was calling Samuel. And so Eli told him, "You just go lie down, and if he calls you again, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his bed. The Lord came and stood there and called out as the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And so then Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Now, when I read that this past week, that phrase kind of captured my attention, and I've been pondering on it ever since. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." See, I'd have to admit that in my interactions with God, the tone and perspective often sounds a little bit different. When I approach God, it's more like, "Listen, Lord, for your child is speaking." And it reminds me, really, a lot of my own kids. When they wanted my full attention, there were times they'd literally grab my face and turn it towards them to know that I was listening. And I've wondered how often God is desiring to have us give him some attention so that he could speak to us. But you know what? We're so busy going about our own life in our own way that we barely give him the time of day or even think about listening to him until we need something from him. Well, welcome to Academy Christian Church. If you're in the house, especially if you're new here today, or whether you're joining us online or over at our Westside campus, I want to give you a shout out. We're in a summer series called You Ask For It, and we're addressing some topics that people in our church requested messages on. And so our topic for today is hearing from God. Now, you got to be careful when you talk about this, because it's been said that when we talk to God, we're praying, but when he talks to us, we're crazy. So you got to be careful about that when you tell people you're listening or God's talking to you. But you know, being able to communicate with the creator of the universe is one of the most incredible privileges that a Christ follower has. And it's one of the best ways to experience the tangible presence of God in the midst of our very busy everyday lives. And so this morning, I want to share what I would say is two observations and then a question. And the first observation I would share is this. Part of being able to hear from God is actually related to our attitude towards God. Now, when I say that, then I also want to ask, how do you view God? And what is your attitude towards God? And let me just say, when I think about God, it took me becoming a parent myself to more fully understand what it's like to be a parent and what my parents maybe were thinking when they tried to direct my life in the way that they did. And I'll be honest, I was a teenager at one time, and I can remember them saying something and me rolling my eyes at one point or giving some real frustrated sighs because I didn't understand it. And yet, how many of you, and it would be me too, would confess that some of the things that your parents said to you that drove you crazy, you later found yourself repeating almost word for word to your own children when you became a parent? Isn't it interesting, though, that when Jesus gave instructions to his followers on how to pray, his model prayer started with these words, our Father in heaven. And see, I think that's because Jesus wanted us to understand that prayer and communication to and from God is all about relationship. And I'll confess right up front that there are a number of times when I've been really frustrated with the fact that God hasn't always responded to my requests the way I wanted him to. And that's when you and I or anyone else need to recognize that trusting in either a method or really a response rather than trusting in a person is going to seriously limit the way you and I experience God. Because I think all too often we'd like the communication from God without the relationship with God. Hey, God, speak to me. I haven't taken much time in my relationship with you, but I want the communication. And you know, when Adam and Eve, when they hid themselves in the Garden of Eden, God immediately called out to them, "Where are you?" And that's because he valued his relationship with them. And relationships require communication. Now, honestly, when I'm wanting to hear from God, I'm oftentimes just seeking confirmation of maybe what I've already decided, or I'd like to discover how God's going to provide what I'm wanting, or I just like him to make a decision that's really up to me to make. And so the question then becomes, when we look at prayer this way, are you simply pursuing results in prayer rather than closeness with God in prayer? Because while we might be seeking answers, God is pursuing relationship, because it's actually in a relationship that we learn to hear from God. And we know that because Jesus made it clear that Christ's followers listen for and know his voice. And when Jesus tried to describe the relationship with him, what that would look like, he chose the following word picture that we find in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. It's in your notes, obviously up on the screen. You can find it in your Bible or device. But here's what Jesus said. "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, that's a thief or a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep do what? Listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Sounds relational to me. "And when he has brought out all of his own sheep, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him." You know why? Because they know his voice. "But they never follow a stranger. In fact, they'll run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice." And then look at verse 6. It says, Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. Why? Because they were lacking that relationship. Well, when we talk about hearing from God, let's be honest, rarely has God ever spoken audibly to any human being. And so I think a better way of hearing God's voice is to think of it as listening for his communication and the way he communicates with us. Now, in his groundbreaking work, Experiencing God, and if you've never done that study, would encourage you to consider it, Henry Blackaby concluded that there are several clear ways that God communicates with his people. And here's what he said. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances in the church to reveal himself, his purposes, and his ways. And so again, please remember that when we talk about hearing from God, about God speaking, a better way to think of it is about how God communicates with each of us. And many of the ways God communicated in the Bible that we read about, those were actually the exception, not the norm. And when we read about them, boy, that'd be great for God to talk about it that way. But that's the exception, not the norm. For example, how many burning bush experiences do we read about in the Bible? I think just one. That's all there was, just one burning bush experience. Now, since we live now in the church age, we're in a better place. Because God's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we now have an internal communication connection with God. You know how your phones are getting smarter and smarter. You can actually use your phone now to translate from and to almost any language. Well, you know, that's kind of what the Holy Spirit does for us. Translates what God is saying and doing into meaningful communication with Him. We know that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them?" That's so true. "In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we can understand what God has freely given us." Now, as a pastor, and I've been a Christ follower a long time, I've got to share with you that there's only been a few times, a handful of times in my life, when I've ever truly felt like I've heard the voice of God. And again, when I say the voice of God, it wasn't like I heard an audible voice speaking as much as it was a clear communication from God that registered in my mind. And so hearing from God for me has often come in the form of some promptings, clear promptings. I get an obvious nudge to do something or say something or trust something. And yes, it's true that on occasion God did speak audibly to some of His servants in the Bible, but only rarely. More often, when God wanted to make His will known or wanted to speak to His people, He would communicate His message to a few select servants, and they then recorded that for us in what we now have as the Bible. And so whenever someone asks about hearing from God, and you may have said, "I'd really like to hear from God," I think we need to be clear. The best place to get a word from God is in the Word of God. If you want to hear from God, go to His Word. The clearest way to hear from God is from the Bible. Several months ago, I was going through this kind of phase of my life. I was bemoaning the fact that I wondered if I could have what it takes to lead the church in the next season of ministry, and I really felt like I needed to hear from God about that. Well, not long after that, I attended a men's breakfast where one of our members, Bill Anderson, shared this verse out of the Bible that I'd never come across before, and it contained literally the exact message that I needed to hear from God in that moment. It was Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16. And there God said, "You know what? I will lead the blind," and I feel that way sometimes, "in ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them, and I'll make the rough places smooth. These are the things I will do. I will not forsake them." That was the exact message I needed to hear from God. Now, we got to be careful, because I don't know if you've ever come across somebody who said, "Well, you know what? God told me. God told me." And it's a little bit hard to argue with that, isn't it? I mean, if God really actually told you. But folks, that's honestly why we need the Bible as our ultimate authority, because any word from God is never going to contradict the Word of God. So we have some measure to be able to control that. Now, if two observations and a question weren't enough, I now have three observations more and another question. And so my first observation would be this. Part of hearing from God is learning to recognize His voice among the others that we have to hear. And, you know, we live in a world where there's a lot of voices speaking into our lives. And I think therein lies the two challenges. One is, how do I hear from God? And the other, how can I be certain that I've heard from God? And so I think really the first thing we need to know before we can get it right
is to literally acknowledge that we can get it wrong. If we're not careful, Adam and Eve kind of got it wrong in the Garden of Eden because they listened to the wrong messenger who lied to them. And so you remember, Satan's native language is what? False truth, lying, untruth. That's what he's going to speak. So we have to be careful of that. And that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we're not unaware of his schemes. And so we need to be careful of what kind of messages we're letting into our minds. The second thing I think we obviously need to be aware of is that we all suffer from what we would call selective hearing. And right now there's probably a wife nudging her husband, right? Because there's been a little selective hearing going on every now and then in that relationship. But that can work both ways. But you know, that can happen to us too. We become selective in what we want to hear. And that happens even in the church. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, hey, you know what? The time is going to come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear, that selective hearing. And I think therein lies the challenge, why it's sometimes hard to read the Bible. Because, you know, God's word doesn't just tell you what you want to hear. It actually tells you what you need to hear. So when you read the Bible, you don't just read the Bible. It also reads you. And we know that because in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says, the word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that's why God tells us so much about how we need to be in his word. And that selective hearing reminds me of what a dad said one time. My kids call it yelling when I raise my voice, but I call it motivational speaking for the selective of hearing. Because sometimes we have to let them know, it's motivating you to listen when you don't want to listen. And while we should definitely seek to hear God's voice through his word, I just want to remind you that sometimes God speaks to us through his activity, what he's doing around us. But we have to be ready for that and listening to that. Because if you're sensitive to what God is doing around you, he will clearly speak to you through his activity. And it might include really some unexpected provision of resources. That could be maybe financial. It could be personal or human. And I just got to share with you, there are so many times when God has communicated his love for us because he's shown up for Diane and I financially at just the right time, at just the right way, when we didn't even have any idea where it was coming from. And then he kind of shows up sometimes with human resources as well. Diane and I, we're just the other day, we're building this huge gazebo on our back porch, like 800 parts. It's like immense. And so we're putting it together, and we have to make these four pillars, stand them up, and then we have to connect them together with this framework. And I said, hey, Dan, I think we could do that. but so we finally got started on it. We were working away, and we had to lift up these huge metal bars. And fortunately, our neighbor in a backyard fence, he'd been watching the whole thing. And he's not even a believer, but he felt God's prompting, and he walked around through our back fence and said, hey, I think you need some help. And we're like, yes, we need some help. Now, I didn't see that as just a nice neighbor showing up. What I recognize is that was God actually speaking up by showing up in that amazing, amazing way. And so I just encourage you to watch for God's activity around you, because it's one of the ways that he communicates his love to you. But I've also got to say that, folks, the truth is we will all experience God's silence at times. Every person I know that's been a Christ follower for any amount of time has said, you know, there came a point where I'm listening, I'm waiting, I'm wanting to hear from God, and I just don't hear anything. And we know that happens because, you know, Job in the Old Testament, he suffered with excruciating pain and loss for a very long stretch of time before God speaks to him. And even when God spoke and broke his silence, he never fully explained to Job the reasons for all his suffering. He was silent. And you can read about this because so many people have written about the pain it causes, but there's a guy named Andrew Peterson who in his book, Silence of God, he wrote this. He said, man, it's enough to drive a man crazy. It'll break a man's faith. It's enough to make him wonder if he's ever been sane. When he's bleeding for comfort from thy staff and thy rod, and heaven's only answer is the silence of God. And that's when it's being quiet, God's being quiet, that we always need to remember God's silence does not equal his absence. Just because God's not speaking doesn't mean he's abandoned you or forsaken you. We know that God's already promised, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Now, I think everyone probably tries to talk to God and prays in a crisis. Did any of you see the sign we have out here on the church sign? As it comes in, it says, a lot of people don't think about praying until they see a cop make the U-turn. And some of you, that's when you've prayed. Oh, let them be going after the other person. But you know, that's just what happens. And so I think we all pray in a crisis. When the house is on fire, or the kids are driving you nuts, or the job is in jeopardy, or there's a serious health threat, or our finances are failing. This last couple of weeks, I've actually been facing some very difficult leadership challenges. And so honestly, my prayer life has gone to the next level because I found myself without answers and totally dependent on God to lead and guide and provide. And it seems to be built into our very being to cry out to God when we get to the end of our rope. But I think a great question is that all prayer is? And so the last question I want to ask today is this. Could the purpose of prayer be not just talking with God, but also listening to God? See, in talking with God, sometimes we've probably all said prayers, something that go like this. God, it's me. I know I haven't been, you know, talking to you for a while, but I need your help. And if you'll come through for me, I will, and you'll make some promises. But is that all there is to prayer? Could there be something that's missing? Because what I've found in my own life and a lot of others is that the majority of us don't know how to pray, where we mostly listen and God does the talking. Dan Sutherland is a pastor who was sharing with a mentor friend about his prayer life. And he told him about his prayer list and his prayer time and the many requests that he had laid before God. And when he thought he'd done a good job describing his more than adequate prayer life, his mentor just responded, "Thank you for telling me about how you talk to God. Now tell me about how you listen to God. Tell me how he talks to you." Well, Dan stammered and stuttered and talked around the question until he finally admitted, "You know, most of my prayer time is spent talking to God and not listening to him." And then his mentor asked him, "If you and I are in a conversation, who should do the most talking?" And Dan responded, "Well, probably the one who needs to talk the most." And his mentor shook his head in disagreement and then answered his own question. He said, "The one who should do the most talking in any conversation is the one who knows the most about the subject being discussed." And Dan confessed that he recognized immediately what was happening. See, his prayer times had become him doing all the talking, requiring God to do all the listening. He was spending time with the omniscient ruler of all, telling him what he wanted and needed to do, instead of listening to God so that he could tell Dan what he needed to do. Does that sound familiar to you? Because it sounds familiar to me. And then Dan said, "You know what? I've been a Christ follower for 37 years and a pastor for 35 years, but I don't know how to pray where I do most of the listening and God does most of the talking." See, I think most of us have the talking part down, the listening part not so much. So actually today, I want to issue a challenge that I'm hoping a number of you are going to take me up on. And let me just say, I've been practicing it for the last week because I think I ought to practice what I preach. And let me just say, it is a challenge. I'm pretty sure, and you could probably verify with my wife, I'm a little bit ADHD. And so I have a lot of squirrels. I'm thinking of one thing, squirrels. I mean, it's catching me all the time. And it can be difficult when learning a life-changing truth. But you know what? I'm certain that God wants to speak to us. And I think simply getting in a chair might just give him the opportunity. And so if you notice in your notes, I want to offer today the chair time challenge. I would want to ask you to be willing to spend 15 minutes a day for the next 30 days simply sitting in a chair to listen to God. And when I say that to you, I know it's going to be a challenge, simply because in our culture, as technology has advanced, our attention span has dwindled. Do you know how bad it's dwindled? The average attention span now, they say, in this country, is less than the attention of a goldfish span, which is 8 seconds. And so here's the problem. I did the math. 15 minutes equals 900 seconds, which adds up to 112 8-second increments where we're having to pull it back together. Now, I don't think of 15 minutes as being a long time until I've tried to sit in a chair for 15 minutes. And so I just want to share with you a couple of things that I did when I sat in a chair, because I had to draw my mind back. And so over and over, I'd have to say to my mind, be still. Be still and know that I am God. And then I just thought of what Samuel was saying. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, if 15 minutes kind of wigs you out, maybe start with 10 or just even 5. But don't be surprised if you haven't been in the habit of listening to God, that it doesn't take some time and a little bit of effort to really hear from him, because God often speaks only when we're willing to make the time to listen. And you know, when he speaks, it's not always how we think he's going to communicate. I know that because in 1 Kings 19, the prophet Elijah was running for his life because Queen Jezebel had put a bounty on his head. And in his flight, he wandered into a cave and he spent the night there. And what transpired next there was a little bit of a complaining session that he had with God, who finally tells Elijah, I want you to go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. And so he goes out to the mouth of the cave. And then it says, this great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake where everything shook, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there came a fire, but guess what? The Lord wasn't in the fire either. But after that, there came, do you know what it is? A gentle whisper. And that was not at all what Elijah was expecting. And I say that because God might not respond to you in the way that you expect. I think the reason that God doesn't ever show off by speaking to us directly is because he has no need to. He doesn't have anything to prove. You know, he's already given us all the evidence we need to believe in, to trust, and to love him, starting with this amazing world that he created and ending really with the message of his love for us delivered through his son, Jesus Christ. And honestly, if you or I don't ever hear anything else from God except those two things, that's enough. So maybe we should all simply seek the posture of doing a better job listening to God rather than just talking with him. And so going back to that question that Dan's mentor asked him, when you're in a conversation, who should do the most talking? The one who knows the most about the subject being discussed is the answer. And I guarantee you, folks, whenever you pray, that one is always God, which is why we maybe need to listen. And so I want to ask this morning, obviously you're not signing anything, but I would like to ask, who of you would say, you know what, for the next 30 days, I would be willing to try listening to God for 15 minutes a day? Raise your hand if you'd be willing to do that. Okay, lots of you. I hope that's what you'll do. And I want us to encourage each other as a community. So tomorrow I'm going to send out an email church-wide. Make sure you look for that email. Look in your, sometime your junk email, because our large emails will go there. And just respond back and let me know that you're going to give it a try. And then through the next 30 days, if you would just report back to me, say, hey, here's what happened. Or here's what I learned, or here's what I heard. I want to share that with our church family, because I know God has a message for every one of us. He would love to speak to our hearts, but we're sometimes just not listening. And I want the folks that are joining us online or over at our west side to please do the same. And let's see what God says. Let's pray. Father, you're the creator of all the universe. It's amazing that you would even have anything that you would want to say personally to us. But you love us and you know us better than anyone else. You formed us together in our mother's womb and made and created us. And so we are significantly your children. And so I pray just for our church family over these next 30 days and would pray that there would be moments as you call us to sit and listen, that you would quiet our hearts to the point that we can eventually be able to hear from you. And God, may that be the experience that we have together so that we grow in our prayer life to not just be people who talk in prayer, but people who listen in prayer. And we pray you'll do a work in our lives through that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.